Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name is Will DeFries. Barrett Dudley, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, man. You know, just sailing through February, honestly.
I don't believe that you feel like you're sailing through February.
I feel like I'm sailing through February. I think it's because, you know what it is? It's already the 9th, you know? Mm-hmm. It'll be the 11th by the time people hear this episode. And despite having like a relatively brisk feeling January, I would say, February is turning out to be ultra mild. And according to the 10-day forecast, I'm knocking on what's not a wood table, but we'll pretend it is. But there's not a snowflake or ice droplet in sight.
I'm fine with that. I just don't want
through like the 22nd at this point, which means that, and historically nothing bad happens after the 23rd. Like, right, like it's always early or mid February that this stuff typically
happens.
It's
usually happens. Like right now. It's I feel like that right we now. Get killed.
And we're just getting like, we're mild as hell. And for some reason that we're, so it's just like we're coasting. Like this is usually the month where bad stuff happens.
Are you doing no spenduary?
that could be for any month. That could be February, January. No, I'm not doing no spenduary.
It's hard when you're getting married the month of when you're supposed to not spend any money.
Difficult. In fact, mostly what I'm doing is just not logging into my Chase account.
I get it.
Yeah, that's that's more how this month is going.
You're doing the mid-20s, ignorance is bliss. Uh-huh. Like, as long as I don't check my bank account, we're good.
Yeah, it's fine. What I am doing, though, is dampuary. I'm not imbibing until wedding weekend.
Basically. How's it going for you?
It's been kind of rough. I've been a week basically. Here's what happened. I was gonna do all of February,
but something came up,
and then I started February 1st was the Thursday, and then February 2nd.
Which you can't start on a Thursday,
which happened to be Groundhog Day, by the way. What happened with Groundhog Day?
I don't know. I don't trust him.
I feel like we're getting early spring.
I don't trust him.
Whatever Pawtucket Pete said, I think it's
Punxsutawney.
I think we're getting Punxsutawney.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil.
I am a fan.
Pete is a different groundhog.
Yeah, I probably.
He comes out.
He's a rival groundhog.
Yeah, it's a rival groundhog. Yeah. Anyway, I basically had to meet somebody at a place on. I'll just name it. Better Half. On Friday at 5:30, where they were having $6 cheeseburgers and $4 Carl Kolsch's.
Yeah,
and I was just
it.
Like, this is, you've brought me into the lion's den. Like, this is, for my second day of this, this is too tall of a task.
I mean, God gives his toughest test to his truest warriors. So, I mean, did you win that battle?
No, of course not.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. $10 for a burger and a beer in Austin, Texas
right.
is like,
no,
you'd be an idiot not to.
I can't have this burger and not have the $4 Carl Kolsch with it.
Are you a drinker at home? Like, will you have a beer at home every night? Or like, will you make a cocktail? Or is it like an open a bottle of wine thing? Is it maybe just a couple nights a week?
No, it's really like during the week, it's probably like it's maybe once.
Yeah.
And typically that happens on like when a day that I've had a lot to do, stayed late at work, and I like get home and it's just like that, like it's like that decompression.
Yeah.
You know, one beer, one cocktail type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then like okay. So after that Friday afternoon, it's been a week now. And it really like the weekend was the hardest because you know, like I rolled into Sunday, had a nice relaxing, you know, Saturday, but then ran some errands on Sunday. I was doing grocery shopping and like nothing sounded better on that Sunday than like the grocery store beer, the walk around grocery store beer, which is one of my favorites.
So, okay. You do this at Central Market, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So do you just go up? Where do you, this is always rattled me whenever I see the people walking around with their grocery store beers,
mm-hmm.
partially because I'm like, fuck, why didn't I do that? And whenever I see these people going around, I'm always like, where are they getting these beers from? Where is this beer located in the plastic cups within the walls of this grocery store?
Every Central Market, at least as far as I know, has like a cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
In the cafe, basically, they've got a bunch of beers on tap.
Okay.
And so
you just go up to the cafe.
You just walk up to the cafe where you walk up to order at the cashier and you just say, I want, you know, a 512 IPA plastic cup, please.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. I'm always very jealous of the guys that I see walking around doing that. And yeah. I'm always like, okay, but I don't want to ask them where they got the beer.
Yeah.
I don't always want one, but I like having the option.
Yeah.
I think I need to start getting that in the rotation a little bit.
Yeah. There's also, you can also just walk up to the cooler, like where they have like all the assorted stuff
mm-hmm.
and there's like singles and you can just grab one of those too if you want. But I usually go with the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, the draft always looks a lot cooler in the cart.
That was my toughest test so far. Here we are heading into weekend two, and you told me because you've participated in Dry January before that you feel like it gets easier after the first week.
You cross a couple of those obstacles. Yeah, for me, it was always present in my mind the first week.
Right,
You're not drinking this week.
Yeah.
It's not in the rotation yet. And then once like week two always hit, it was always a lot easier for me to figure it out. But getting through the second weekend was always a little difficult. But I feel like with having the wedding as like your final destination here, I feel like that's a lot. You have a light at the end of the tunnel.
I do.
It's not like you're going the entire month. You're literally just going three total weeks.
3 weeks. It's yes. Yes.
And you didn't even make it 3 weeks.
I didn't. Well, technically, it would have been just over 3 weeks.
Yeah, true,
now
true.
I will make it officially. Now it's going to be less than 3 weeks because, yeah, you're right. Because I did. It's going to, that. Yeah. Yeah. 22nd, I will. I'll pop top. So
I'm going to a dinner tonight where I can guarantee it will not be a dry dinner. I mean, I'm trying a new place on the east side called Murray's Tavern. It's been over social.
Yeah,
it looks like a great spot.
I didn't even know that they had food at Murray's Tavern.
They have very good looking food.
Okay.
My brother-in-law and I are going there tonight, and I'm very excited because I haven't tried a new restaurant in Austin in a while, and I'm excited just to go on a little dude date.
Yeah, that sounds sick.
They've got some cocktails on the menu that are already tickling my fancy. I think I'm going through a paper plane phase.
Okay.
I had never had one until late last year, and someone made me feel stupid when they were like, oh, yeah, that's a very common cocktail. I'm like, yeah, I know that.
Shouts to MIA.
A lot of shouts. Probably, like, the Bad Girls video was one of my favorite music videos I've ever seen. I just, for some reason, I love watching cars drive on two wheels through the desert while people rap on top of them.
Who doesn't? Who among us?
And there was no better time. I just remember being at the University of Michigan over St. Patrick's Day, and someone put on Paper Planes, and I was just like, this is living. We've made it. This is it'll never be better than this.
I mean, Paper Planes, like, you know, we're going to talk as we're wont to do about millennials here in a little bit. And I mean, that's one of our Pantheon jams, I would say.
You put that on a party with a bunch of people that are 36 years old right now, and it's going to go off.
That's going to slap. Pineapple Express trailer. Anybody? Yeah. Thank you.
What about like a G6?
I don't know if I'm giving that one the Pantheon
badge. Okay. I'm just I was just spitballing. I flew a little too close to the sun here. That's my bad. I'm currently checking to see how many retail therapy candles we have in stock because that's an important piece of information for what we're doing right now.
It's got to be sub 10.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now just so we have a very clear idea. But in the meantime, if you haven't already, please go watch these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/SundayScariesPodcast. Honestly, it's more fun to watch, if I'm being honest. It's just a better product. Also, go follow us at retail.pod on Instagram. And if you go to the description of this episode, we have got a little link there to our newsletter where I put out links, articles, wish list items, everything you could ever desire. I put that out on Substack. Go check that out. And there are retail therapy candles available right now, but my computer is having very aggressive technical difficulties. So if they're sold out by the time you get there, I'm sorry. There are other candles you can purchase. But to anyone who's purchased one, thank you. We've had a lot of fun doing that. And we got some other stuff on the horizon, so keep an eye out. But before we get into today's episode, let's talk about our friends over at Shopify. When we started podcasting, an online store was the furthest thing from our mind. But now, if you go buy something from Sunday Scaries and or Retail Therapy, just know that it's running through Shopify. And it's so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. So whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify even helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And you can sell more with less effort thanks to their magic AI-powered all-star, or Shopify Magic. It's an AI-powered all-star tool. I'm just gonna be out with it, Barrett. We're releasing something from Sunday Scary soon that's going to be listed through Shopify.
That's right.
Some loungy boxer shorts.
Ooh.
one of the more approachable products I've put out in a while from Sunday Scaries, but these will be launching on Shopify probably next week. So
perfect
if you
want to transition into spring, you know?
Oh yeah.
It's no more sweats at home. You need something lighter weight to lounge around in.
I cannot wait for the sun to go down and I can just go sit on my porch swing wearing these boxers and like a crew neck sweatshirt and just chill there.
That's what we call a panic room upgrade.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This might be the single best panic room product outside of a scented candle that Scaries has ever made. I'm pretty excited about it, but you can get it through the Shopify store. Plus Shopify has award-winning help and it's there to support every step of the way because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up with a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/scaries, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/scaries to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/scaries.
Well, I've got good news or bad news depending on however you want to look at it.
Is Jacob Elordi not choking people anymore?
There is currently, at the time of recording, one retail therapy.
Love
left.
That.
There's one left.
It's not going to be there. It's not going to be there.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I might just buy it just to make a statement.
I was very tempted seeing here because, you know, a little retail therapy trick that that the shoppers among us know about. If you're ever just kind of like curious to see like how many are left in stock of something, a little hack you can do, just keep adding until it won't let you add.
I just add 100 of something to the cart and see how many that people have. I do that with stores all the time. Like, why did ALD stock 3 of these jackets?
Sometimes there's a cap, like if you can't go over 10, basically anything under 10, if it stops letting you add, that's how many they've got. And that's the trick that I used today. And we have exactly one left.
I had a devastating revelation the other day. I burnt a brand new retail therapy candle in my place and I did a cardinal sin. Well, everyone knows that when you burn a scented candle for the first time, you have to let it burn for about 3 hours. You got to make sure that the wax reaches the edge of the candle container. You have to make sure that it's burning evenly. It's just important to do to maintain the life of your candle. You don't want it to tunnel. And so I did it. I set it and I forget it. And I fell asleep on the couch for a little bit. And when I awoken from my slumber, I walked straight to my bedroom and passed out in bed. And I woke up the next morning and I looked at the candle and it was significantly burned down. I was devastated to see it.
Yeah, but hey, probably no tunneling.
There was no tunneling. I mean, it's a good candle, but it was just like, oh, I just wasted the precious few stock we have left of this.
Did the room smell amazing
at
the very least?
It did, yeah. It helped the room out a little bit, but it was just a devastating revelation.
It's a good note that 3 hours is the proper first burn because a lot of candles you will get and the packaging might tell you 1 hour is enough. It's typically not enough for that first burn.
No, not at all. Yeah. Don't do 1 hour.
Yeah.
I had some friends recently and they were like, we invited them to go out to dinner and I respected this so much. My friend's wife responded and said, that he just started burning a new scented candle, so we can't leave the house for a while. And I was like, I get it. Like, that's a good excuse.
I love that.
They also have numerous kids, so I mean, that also plays a factor. But I was like, I understand. Like, you can't just waste this right now.
Sorry, I can't. I just lit a brand new scented candle.
It's a great excuse. I need to use that soon. Yeah. I'm going to use that soon just as an excuse. Like, it's like, if I use that excuse, a lot of people aren't going to call me out on that. They're going to be like, oh, God.
Yeah.
He's so annoying. Well, we're going to start today's episode off with a little discussion surrounding a new drink that's been brought to our attention from some of the retail therapy listeners. And I have to say that even though this drink has existed for a little bit, I think we need to put it on the screen and just watch this entire tutorial. We've talked about martini variations for a while. And I think we maybe even dipped into this, but it's gone viral again, which means that I would like to revisit this man's TikTok. It's the Caesar salad martini.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Caesar salads. If there's one on the menu at an Italian restaurant, I'm probably going to get it almost every time. If it's on the menu at a steakhouse, I'm probably also going with it. Are you a pro anchovy guy or anti anchovy guy when it comes on your plate?
Very pro anchovy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like an anchovy. Always have. I'm not hopping on the bandwagon just because tinned fish is hot right now. You need the salty umami. It's not that's what makes a Caesar salad pop for me is that like the real true anchovy or anchovy paste.
Are you willing to soak your vermouth? Your Parmesan and vermouth before you you put this in your drink.
This is probably where you're going to lose me, Will. And that's
cheese?
No, not the cheese. But you know, I was just talking about my ventures and my escapades at one Central Market grocery store. Look, man, you're not getting out of there with a block of Parmesan for less than like $11.88 right now. And I don't know if I can just dedicate that entire block of Parm, that precious, precious Parm, to infusing some vermouth.
But Barrett, in the name of retail therapy, why not just completely amplify the price of this at-home cocktail for no reason at all?
I mean, like, you really got to be like, maybe if I'm making a bunch, if people are coming over because I'm doing Caesar salad martinis, I'll foot the bill here. I'll donate a nice block of Parm to the cause.
Have you ever had black pepper infused vodka or other spirits?
Yes.
I've only used it. I've only done Absolute. I forget what it's called.
Absolute Pepper.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've only used it in spicy Bloody Marys, which I think is the appropriate place to do it in. I have major hesitations when it comes to using a black pepper infused vodka for a martini.
Yeah.
As I just don't know if I want that bite, especially combined with the Parmesan infused vermouth.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't even gotten to this video yet. There is so much happening here with the black pepper and the cheese vermouth and the anchovy on the skewer. This is, again, I don't know about this. Like, it kind of feels like I'm just pouring vodka on my Caesar salad.
Yeah. Like, and
I'm slopping up a Caesar salad here, but with vodka instead of water.
Part of the reason I like having some anchovies on a Caesar salad is because I can kind of cut them up and selectively eat them.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas having a dead fish sitting on the side of your cocktail glass just kind of is a little more jarring.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Earlier last year, I went to Clark's Oyster Bar. Very popular seafood spot in Austin. And I ordered a Gibson martini that came with two cocktail onions on it.
Yeah, okay.
And the people next to me thought that I had oysters or scallops. They weren't sure which one it was on my drink. And finally, after I finished it and the waiter took it away, they leaned over and they were like, did you just have seafood on the side of your drink? And I was like, oh, no, those were cocktail onions. And they, like, the look of relief on their face just showed me everything I need to know about the look of someone drinking, fish stuff in public. It made me realize that, like, people were looking at me absolutely disgusted by what I was doing.
How about, we've talked about our resistance to just oil sitting on top of our martinis and our cocktails. Mm-hmm. But what if I told you that olive was now had lettuce blended into it? Now are you sold?
I don't know why I'm about to say what I'm about to say. I'm not sold.
Okay.
Like, all right. I almost feel like having something else in the oil makes it a little more approachable to me.
Yeah, yeah,
but like the second, if you take that skewer and you start stirring up that cocktail, what does it look like? Like, are there little, does it look like you just pestoed your martini? I don't want that.
And also, when you sip this, when you start drinking this, do you approach the little dollop of romaine oil and does it kind of like, do you kind of like suck it up like a boba tea ball?
I don't know. I don't want to. Like, it can't just sit there the entire time because then it's just going to get weirder and weirder looking.
Yeah.
I am a fan of a garlic stuffed olive. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. You can stuff an olive with pretty much anything and I'll be a fan of it.
Yeah. I'm out on making cocktails too food-like.
Yeah.
That's what I'm out. That's what I'm out on.
I was in, I think I might've been a little in on like the Caprese one because it was just a little more normal. Like having like a tomato and some cheese on as your like garnish for a drink feels a little less weird than just having a curled up, it looks like a piece of shredded paper that you curled up in school. Now you're just going to eat this out of your alcoholic beverage.
Yeah. There's just too much happening here.
I will say that, with how much over olive oiling everything has had lately, a lot of listeners, a majority of listeners, I actually didn't see one listener reach out to us about the Oleato from Starbucks and have a bad thing to say about it. Most people had really good things to say about it.
They're loving the Oleato.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of changing my mind a little bit on whether or not I want to try this.
What were people saying about it?
Just that it was surprisingly good. Huh. I had one listener reach out say that he didn't even realize that he had ordered one with the olive oil in it. And then he drank it and was like, this is incredible. And then looked back and was like, oh, that's an Oleato.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. All right.
I think we need to come up with our own. I think we need to settle on what the official appetizer of retail therapy is. And then I think we need to figure out what ingredients would need to get created in order to make that into a martini. And I think we just test it.
Okay.
I now have an at-home bar. It's not a fancy one. There's no sink. It's just a table underneath where I store my liquor.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed just taking the ingredients out and just absolutely vibing in the bar situation.
Just looking at them? You're just looking at them?
I'm just taking them out and looking at them? I'm not making as many cocktails as I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. I recently got my ceramics back from my ceramics class that I took in Tennessee.
Yes.
And one of the little cups that I was making didn't end up being cup size. So now it's more of a shot glass size.
Okay.
And last night I had a little nip of whiskey out of it. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like having the little tiny...
Did it shrink in the kiln?
I just think that I might have had larger ambitions for it from the beginning. Okay. I shouldn't have.
Okay. Yeah. Before we move on from Caesar salad martini, what's your favorite Caesar salad in Austin?
Right now, I have to say, and it's been this for probably 2 years now, it's going to be the Sammy Caesar salad.
Okay.
They have a little more spice to it.
Yeah.
There's something about it. If for real ones out there, if you don't want to go to Sammy's or if you can't get a reservation there, you can also get the exact same Caesar salad from Favorite Pizza.
So Favorite Pizza is what I was going to say. I associate the salad more with Favorite than I do with Sammy's.
I should associate it more with Favorite because that's where we usually order it from. That's usually the catalyst for us going, where should we order pizza from? Are you craving a salad with it? Let's get the Caesar and a pizza from Favorite.
Yeah, but it's amazing. It's the best Caesar salad I've ever had.
It's got like the little romaines, that like the baby romaine that just hits different when you're cutting it. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Kit Keenan of Bachelor fame. She had a bit on TikTok for a while where she was just rating Caesar salads. And I really enjoyed that. I was kind of jealous that she came up with that because
she's dropped out of my algorithm for some reason.
She's back in my algorithm on my Discover feed for some reason, but I no longer follow her as I just kind of got tired of the content. Not a slight at her. I actually respect what she's doing, but it just wasn't the content for me.
Okay.
She was skewing a little too Gen Z for me.
Got it.
And as we know, Gen Z is just reigning supreme. I think that's probably a good segue to our next column.
That's probably a great segue.
The New York Times put out a very existential crisis feeling column called Hark the Millennial Death Wail, the largest living generation in America peers into the abyss of middle age. Are we really worried or is it just a shtick? This hurt to read a little bit sometimes, not because it was poorly written or anything, but just simply because it brought up several things that made me start to question my own existence. Can I read the first paragraph
please,
an early paragraph for you? Perhaps you've heard it, as if 72.2 million complaints rang out in unison, grumblings of sore joints from high-intensity interval training, of parties held in distant neighborhoods on weeknights, grievances about the resurgence of Y2K style and the onset of hair loss, the strength of contemporary marijuana. These are complaints that I've had in some capacity at some point over the last year alone. I'm not doing high-intensity interval training workouts solely because I don't work out these days, but...
Well, I'm not being invited to any house parties in distant neighborhoods on weeknights either.
No, but are you turning down restaurant reservations on weeknights on the east side? Because I've done that in the recent past.
No. I don't have kids yet. That's not something I'm turning down.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
I would love more weeknight invitations to restaurants on the east side or parties held in distant neighborhoods, even if they're on weeknights. I will make time for that.
You can tell that the person that wrote that lives in New York.
Yes.
They're like, no, I'm not going to a different neighborhood on a weeknight.
Right. Yeah.
It's embarrassing to go to New York and invite your friends somewhere who like have lived in New York forever and then just being like, oh, no, I'm not doing that tonight.
Yeah.
I'll see you this weekend when I have time to go over that direction.
Yeah.
But really, this article is just about, like, the millennials are we're all facing this, like, middle-age daunting feeling. But should we be?
Yeah.
Are we just getting pressured by this younger generation?
Well, there are a few things happening here. And I think the article does a good job of addressing some of the stuff that's actually probably happening here. And I'll just go straight to the crux of it that I think probably explains like the number one thing happening here, which is that like we have millennials were the first internet generation. So we were the first ones to have this kind of like almost this expectation or this desire to mine like all aspects of our life for content.
Yeah.
And so this
Did you have an Angel Fire site?
Oof, I remember Angel Fire, but I don't think I had an Angel Fire site.
I had an Angel Fire site, and I really hope it's not existent anymore.
but yeah, that's what I feel like this is. This says, you know, so loud is the chorus of lamentations that there is a sense of protesting a bit too much. Could it be a shtick? Remember, millennials are the first generation who learned to mine their lives for social media content, and aging may be a category that is too robust to leave on the shelf. So, and the other thing that we've talked a lot about on this podcast is how that millennials kind of got pushed off the cliff a little bit over the course of the pandemic.
The word chuggy.
Which is not something that happens to most generations. Like you kind of like, feels like you kind of go gracefully into the night a little bit more subtly and gradually. And it's like, oh, what, one day you wake up and it's like, oh, we're not the young generation anymore. Whereas like over the course of the pandemic with the, you know, with TikTok and getting extremely popular and just like everything else that that happened over the course of those 3 years, like we basically just got like 300 kicked into the pit. And it was like, hey, y'all are old now. Get out of our way. And so that simultaneously, like that kind of that differentiation, that kind of competitiveness between like the very clear black and white contrast of Gen Z is the youths now, millennials are the olds now. Like that's been rich. That's been ripe for content. And so I think that we're just doing our job as an online generation as well to plumb that shit for content.
May 2nd, 2021. The word chuggy hit its peak on Google Trends.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
I think that was the start of this.
Yeah.
I truly believe that when the word chuggy was established, it suddenly made us the enemy of the younger generation. Yep. And they just started dunking on anything that was just solely done by our generation. The main thing that comes to mind is women wearing skinny jeans. And like, it is so unjust the way that they could come up with a word. They came up with a word, then defined it, and then solely used it to launch an attack on us, the olds. And we're not even old.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm 37 years old. My parents had me when they were 36 and 37, respectively. Like, I am right at a normal time in life. I shouldn't feel like I'm just, like, completely irrelevant anymore. Now's the time when I feel like I get to actually, like, do the things that I want to do in life and forge the path that I want to forge.
Yeah, millennials are currently between 28 and 43, which means a significant number of us are still too young to run for president, quote. And a 36-year-old is smack dab in the middle of the generational cohort. Both of us are 37, so we're kind of right in that meaty chunk there at the top of the bell curve. But yeah, like we're like basically most millennials are still in their 30s. That's definitely not old.
No. And so, everyone's acting like we've just been creaking around, complaining about everything. Like I feel like our generation has been pretty nice to the boomers, especially, you know, all considering all they're doing. Like, I know that we made up. What, Randy? Hold on.
I don't know about that. I think it was like the boomers were saying the millennials killed everything. And then millennials are all like, oh, actually, no, we have a terrible economy and everything for you. Like, a lot of millennials are really upset about boomers.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, but that feels a little more just to me than just being like, you guys dress old. You guys are lame. Like this is a clout war.
And that type of generation war happened when boomers were all essentially like 60 plus or 50, yeah, 50 plus.
Exactly.
Like we waited a long time before we looked around at the landscape and we're like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This younger
like Gen Z just started the war because we liked slim pants. Because
we were getting all the clout online and they were like, hold on. We see what these people are doing. Yeah. We got to get this. We got to wage our war here.
We have a new app. It's quicker. It's faster. It's better. And get the fuck out of here.
Well, this article started making me also think about an article from Vox this week called Against Trend Bait. And it says TikTok has seen a bizarre and annoying explosion of language as creators rush to coin terms. And I totally blame the younger generation, but I do think that there's people like us doing it. But it's things like, do you know what orange peel theory is?
No.
I was not aware of this, but apparently orange peel theory. Oh no, that's where if somebody won't peel an orange for you, if your significant other won't do it, you need to get a new significant other.
Okay,
if you just say, "Hey, peel this orange." But now they've coined orange peel theory. Okay. Like micro
I did see this actually.
Just know that for the next 5 years if you get asked to peel an orange by anybody, you have to do it cuz you might be on camera. But they have like micro cheating, girl hobby, loud budgeting, 75 cozy. Have you seen 75 cozy?
I've not.
You're familiar with 75 hard, correct?
Yes.
75 cozy is just like a reduced version of that where you read like not for 10 minutes. You just might read. You might pick up a book for a second. You might just enjoy yourself and watch a movie. But like, they have all these terms that they've been calling out that like, these terms are solely made to like start an argument online, I think.
Well,
to isolate people?
Yeah, I mean, this just factors into like the churn. It's the aesthetic of the week, micro trend churn of TikTok, where like everything moves a mile a minute, and like that's, yeah, people are just desperate to continually move on to the next little bit, the next little like meme word, basically.
Yeah,
that's how this generation, this next generation is operating. This actually, what this makes me think of though is, Laura, my fiance, was pitching out a theory earlier this week, I think, wherein she like doesn't believe that Gen Z is using all of these terms in real life, that they are solely like, they solely exist in like the realm of online banter and comment sections.
Yeah.
And that Gen Zers or even Gen Alphas are not sitting around like talking to each other about the like orange peel theory.
He's micro cheating on me.
Or saying things like, Yeah.
It's very rare that I even use a term. Like, if I use a term that was derived from just like TikTok or something, and I'm not saying that this term was, but like this term gives the vibe that it was like gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Like anytime I'm like, oh yeah, he kind of gaslit them in that situation, I always think like, oh, you're too online. Like you're a little too online right now. Like just use a different phrase. Like he was lying to you to make you feel better. Like that, like I don't need to use the coined term for everything.
Yeah.
But it says TikTok has amplified these generational differences where every tiny thing feels like it's under a microscope, said Casey Lewis of the After School newsletter, a newsletter we reference all the time on here, my favorite newsletter going, from the emojis we use to the way we say certain words. I mean, yeah, everything is affected by this generation.
Yeah.
I feel good about where we are. I think we still got time. And we're like being bookended by two like shitty generations right now that we need to like kind of shoved to the side a little bit.
I mean, I don't have a problem with Gen Z, you know, like they are what they are. They're young, they're figuring it out. But I do, but to your point, I mean, that's, I think the reason that millennials should be okay with it, with the death wail that it is currently sounding the alarms online, is because what this means is we are the largest generation. We are moving into the seat of power. And like, I mean, yes, marketing departments are figuring out how to pitch and talk to Gen Z and Gen Alpha, but like watch the Super Bowl today, right? Or think about watching the Super Bowl yesterday if you're listening to this during the week, right? Like I promise you, 90% of the commercials are going to be pitched directly to you.
Yeah.
They are going to be making 90s and 2000s references that Gen Z will not understand.
Yeah.
Think about like the Kmart or the Walmart commercials from Black Friday that leaned on the 20th anniversary of Mean Girls, right?
Yeah.
Gen Z doesn't know what that shit is. I mean, maybe they kind of, maybe.
The Paramount commercial that came out with all the stars in it, like all that stuff was from when we were, a lot of that stuff was from when we were like late high school, early college age.
Right.
And like, if you're like in the younger generation, you're like, what, who are these people? Who's this cop wearing short shorts?
Right. Maybe Mean Girls is something that transcends, but yeah, exactly. All I'm saying is that most of the stuff is actually going to be still pitched to millennials, and because we're now the ones with the essentially the foremost like purchasing power,
and we have Taylor Swift,
So sorry, suck on that.
Sorry,
yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen this. This might be a whole nother segment for another episode. This big 2 weeks ago that like Gen Z is aging faster than millennials. There's been a lot of articles on it, like in the past 2 weeks.
Why? Just like stress?
Stuff like that. I think it's something that...
The anxiety of being too online?
Maybe save it for a future episode.
Yeah, I might need to read about that.
On TikTok for the past 2 weeks.
Are they not looks maxing hard enough? Or are they looks maxing because they need it?
Looks maxing.
They did come up with looks maxing.
But I think it's because they need it.
Because they're just old as shit. They're all stressed out from being online and getting bullied at an earlier age.
I think it's kind of like that, yeah.
I'm about to looks max with some under eye surgery.
Dude. When I was standing in our bathroom this morning, looked at myself in the mirror after having I had a minor this is gonna millennialize me.
Uh-huh.
I reached over my car the other day and I felt a tweak in my back, and it felt like I did something to like a nerve back there, and it was just affecting me all day. And so last night I took something for the pain and just immediately fell asleep and went into a nice little coma in my bed. And when I woke up this morning, I was just feeling so gross. Looked in the mirror and I was just like, you look like shit. Then I started thinking like, oh, we're doing retail therapy today. Now, like, should I go all the way to our refrigerator and get out some under eye patches?
Right,
the
right.
second I had that thought, I just heard my son go, Dad, I want to get out of bed. And I was just like, fuck, all right, I'm going to look like shit.
I didn't have time for the patches this morning. I just, all I had was time for a cream, a little dab. But I did get feedback that the morning that I had done the full routine mm-hmm. and came in and then was in here recording, my eyes were looking better.
Okay.
So that was positive. But
I've been using some morning light cream. That's what it's called. And it I don't know if it does anything, but it's like I don't have a face routine anyway. So just simply putting some cream on my face in the morning makes me feel like I'm doing something.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I need to get rid of these bags.
This is the tough. I mean, yeah. This is perfect ending to the death whale. It's honestly like that. That's the biggest thing for me that I'm experiencing right now. It's sure there's some creaks here and there. Probably don't run as fast as I used to, but it's just like the facial aging is coming into play now in a way that I wish it wasn't. And dermatologists routinely they recommend two things, and that is it. And this is I if you have a dermatologist that is like way more like, oh, you should do this and this and this. I'm curious to hear about it because my experience, the experience of friends and family, is dermatologist largely tell you that there's nothing you can do about it mm-hmm. beyond one, Botox, and two, a retinol. That's it. That's the two things that they recommend. And I think the reason is because those are really the only two things that like are truly proven to work.
Yeah.
Like everything else is kind of like your miles may vary.
Yeah.
Like, oh, sure, you can try this cream. You can try this. You can, but like retinols or retinoids and Botox is like, we know this works. So that's what we're going to suggest to you.
My sister did listen to our last episode and she did send me her solution for under eye stuff. She sent me the Instant Depuff Eye Renewal Serum from Tula Skincare.
Okay.
She said she stands by this stuff. That is what she uses. And that is what I should consider using. My sister does not normally, she's not the type to spend big money on like face care stuff. So mm-hmm. the fact that she's recommending this to me feels big.
Okay.
Feels big. I'll put that in the Substack. And while you're on the Substack, go look at her Substack. She's got one where she recommends stuff. I highly recommend
it. Do I need a Substack?
I don't know. They're fun. I like it. It's like the new Angel Fire.
Yeah.
I really hope Angel Fire doesn't have any websites up. Like I think back to the point of my life where we were making those websites and like, I'm just like, oh God, we were unhinged online.
What did you call your Angel Fire?
I don't remember. I remember you could select like a few different backgrounds and like the backgrounds weren't great.
Yeah.
It was so 90s feeling, even though it was probably like early 2000s at that point.
Yeah. For a Zillennial here, what the hell is Angel Fire?
It's just, you made websites. You just made your own custom website. It was like a way to just, yeah, make a random website with photos of yourself on it. And it was really the first time that I ever saw kids learning like code and stuff.
So it was pre-MySpace?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Pre-MySpace. And so you could just sign up. You had to code it yourself in a lot of like situations, which was interesting. But it wasn't like it wasn't that difficult. But like I recently read something about how the younger generation is just getting crushed by viruses on their computers because they don't know how to like suss out sketchy files like we do because we grew up
on sus files.
In like a really raw generation of downloading files. Yeah. Like, I mean, we were downloading files directly to our computer.
That's right.
All the time.
Yeah, I don't think these Gen Zers were getting the blue screen on their family computer like we were.
And just immediately turning it, immediately holding the power button for 5 seconds. And then pray that hard restart works.
Running into a different room. And then when dad boots it up, it's like, I don't know.
What? The amount of times that I was downloading a file and it would be like 99% on Napster. And I'd look at it and just be like, oh no, like this file looks sketchy as hell.
That it's so funny to think about how we were just absolutely mangling our computers with Napster, LimeWire, Kazaa, mm-hmm. like, just downloading, just who knows what type of files from the internet.
Have you seen the video going around today on Twitter? It's an old video from 2022, but the tweet that's making it go around is currently going viral about the woman who is refusing to get rid of her CD collection. It's this like, it's this mom. She's a great looking mom. And she's like, no, I'm not getting rid of my CD collection. I got rid of all my vinyls. I'm not getting rid of my CD collection. This stays. And like, she was talking about how like, she just wants to be able to look at a CD and say, I like this CD. I'm going to listen to this.
Okay.
And all the comments were people being like, oh yeah, like Spotify can change your file at any moment and change a song and update it. Whereas if you own this on a CD or a vinyl, like you're good. You're going to have this piece of media forever.
Somebody, where was this? What was this happening? Okay. Yes. Yeah. This was at the end of last year, but apparently Pete Davidson is like really bullish on his VHS collection.
Love it.
Like he's like, I think, he thinks he's going to get rich selling old VHS tapes. This was from October of last year, but it made me, I can't remember, that came up in conversation recently. And so I thought about it, but it did make me think about how there are people out there that are holding on to things like their DVD collections and their CD collections, because there is this element of like we went into the streaming era, right? With mm-hmm. kind of this promise at the end of the road that eventually you were going to pay for enough apps that literally everything was going to be at the tip of your fingers.
Yeah.
No matter what, you're going to be able to find it.
Yeah.
And now we're like deep into that. We're spending, you know, $100 a month on all these streaming services, and there's still stuff that's not there.
Yeah.
Or there's still stuff that doesn't exist on any of them, even to rent or buy, right? Beyond like the streaming services. And so just like you're saying, like with the licensing and the you know, the back end of all this stuff, you don't know when something's just going to disappear from a streaming service or get pulled off or put in the vault or sent over to this other streaming service or pulled off of Spotify because the label has a disagreement. So there is something like, there is like a weird kind of unknown about like when you don't own anything, it can be pulled and or taken away at any at any moment.
If it's mid-November and I've got the screen door open and it's raining outside and I want to listen to an album, if I want to listen to a little Neil Young, I can't just queue it up on Spotify anymore.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, and I enjoy listening to Neil Young. I would like to listen to him, and now I have to listen to it on vinyl, which is a more pleasurable experience for me at this point. But like, yeah, that kind of thing makes me realize like, oh, this stuff doesn't have to last forever online. It does pay off to have this in some other form. That being said, I think I have zero CDs left over from my original collection. I would love to see if my dad could pull out my old binder of CDs, it would blow my mind. There's probably songs that I or bands that I've never even thought about since then. Should we get our allocated Saltburn discussion out of the way now?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep.
This is less Saltburn driven. It's more just Jacob Elordi just being an alpha. Jacob Elordi was on a radio show, and somebody handed him a bottle of water. And he pretty much asked, like, what am I supposed to do with this water? And they were like, well, you know, do your thing with it and return it back to us for Jacob Elordi's bathwater. And he did not like this little stunt. And so he decided to intimidate the producer of the podcast and get in his face. And it's been alleged that he put his hand on the producer's neck within the studio. And this, unfortunately, got a lot of people horned up online.
Yeah. You know that Jacob Elordi is full baby girl status.
Mm-hmm.
When the immediate reaction to this online
to him assaulting someone
was nothing but defense.
Nothing.
It was, this guy did not do anything wrong. This stupid producer like clearly provoked him and prodded him in an inappropriate way, and he was just standing his ground and like nothing. This what are we even doing, like, you know, even considering saying that Elordi did something wrong here? So I was quite, that was pretty funny.
I saw the tweet, I quote tweeted it and just said, oh no, please don't grab me by the throat, Jacob Elordi. Oh no. Like, and I was unfortunately included in IntoMore.com's recap of this, where it says Jacob Elordi allegedly got rough with the producer and everyone is seething with jealousy. And now my tweet is just living there forever. And as one of the horny people for Jacob Elordi choking them out. So if I pass and you Google my name, okay, now you can find that I'm somewhere wanting to be choked by Jacob Elordi.
IntoMore.com aggregated you. That's huge for the pod.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. We also got written up. Somebody referenced us in a Glossy article the other day. But unfortunately, it's paywalled content. So I could only see the first paragraph of the article where we are referenced. But if anyone has a Glossy thing, please send me a PDF of that. What's so funny, Randy?
I just say, like, how crazy it'd be if Jacob Elordi like choked me in the middle of a podcast, something like that. I'm the producer here.
I know, but here's the thing. The second,
yeah, but did you provoke him in an inappropriate way?
I mean, Brandon? I might.
We would probably say to Jacob Elordi, like in the moment, like, hey, stop choking out producer Randy. But once Jacob Elordi leaves the Wash Media headquarters, we're probably all saying, like, dude, how was it getting choked by Jacob Elordi? Like, that's behavior that you have to demean in the moment, but you really have to enjoy the fact that it happened.
I won't be pranking any guests anytime soon.
This is amazing. Here's a tweet. I think we as a people forgot the phrase, fuck around and find out. This reporter fucked around and he found out exactly what happens when you do that. The level of like cope here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, he fucked around and he found out. Like, what is a guy supposed to do? Like so many other people would have done this and we would have just immediately been rushing to cancel them.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like so many people. And, like, the reaction is purely positive for him. Like, nobody – I've never seen an assault happen like this and have people being like, oh, man, I wish that was me.
Do we have video? Do we have any – like, do we actually know what happened? Like,
I don't think so.
If he put his hands on this dude's neck, that's actually – like, it's not serious. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
the person that said off to apply for a reporter job.
That's my favorite
one.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in line to get choked by Jacob Elordi, stay in line. I mean, it is what it is. Like, yeah. If Barry Keoghan decided to jump across the table and choke out the dude from Hot Ones, like, I think we'd all be like, you know what? Those wings were probably too hot for him, man.
Elordi... Keoghan, they're on runs right now, and yeah, they're clearly they're above the law, is what I'll say. It's a nice spot to be in.
Yeah, I might try to, if I ever meet Paul Mescal, I might try to mess him up a little bit, hoping that he comes back at me. Should we do some articles of interest? We have several today, some of which are paywalled, so we're not going to get too into them, but I do want some takes on a lot of these. Do any jump out at you, Barrett?
Yeah. So I'm just going to, can I just start with the one that I dropped on here?
It's, you may.
It's real quick and it's not paywalled. It's just, it's returning to a little bit of a segment that we had, a few weeks ago. And that's that Snoopy content is just, it's as hot as it's ever been. And there is a new watch coming out being dubbed the Moon Snoopy. And I believe this is in a series this is a triple collab now. But these watches that have been coming out,
we're over collabing,
are Omega, tomato tomato, and Swatch. That's the main collaboration, and they've been doing these. So it's like a lower priced, you know, people are bullish on them because you're getting a cool looking Omega, but it's a Swatch price. And
is it pronounced Omega?
I'm not sure.
Isn't
that how Bond says it?
I don't know, but Bond's British.
Like in Casino Omega. Casino Royale, like.
Is that the British accent playing too much of a role here?
Eva Green is like, she's like sussing him out. She's like, you know, she's dressing him down. She's like, and let me guess, Rolex. And he like looks down and he's like, Omega. I think he says Omega.
He's got some one-liners in that movie that are outright hilarious. When she asks how his steak is, skewered. It's like, no one has ever responded to how your steak is and you just say skewered.
Yeah. But I'm actually not sure what the proper American pronunciation is there. But yeah, these are a big deal. People line up for them. I think they've got some resale market, and one is coming out that's going to be that's going to feature Snoopy on it, and people are going to go absolutely dummy for it. So just I'm putting it out there. Like if you're a Snoopy head, you probably need the Moon Snoopy.
If
there's not even a picture of this yet.
I was going to say, I tried to find some photos. Nothing out yet. If Rolex decides to do a Calvin and Hobbes version, then you might see me trying to bankroll a Rolex at some point. Because I've been on my Calvin and Hobbes grind. I want Calvin and Hobbes to be at the Snoopy level of resurgence right now.
Yeah.
I'm just vibing with them. I want to talk about this one just solely because I know you're a late bedtime boy.
I'm a late bedtime boy. That's
apparently right. The younger generation is going to bed at like 9 p.m. these days.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it because they're not drinking?
I saw this. This is an interesting one to me. I feel like it probably ties into another article that we have here on the list of interesting things, which is that Gen Zs just don't have any friends.
that everyone's just missing out on their fringe friends.
I don't know what to say about this. It's a strange one to me.
You go to bed.
Young people should stay up late.
What time do you go to bed? If there was a bedtime Wrapped a la Spotify for you, Barrett, what time do you think your average bedtime was in 2023?
And what does that mean? Does that mean me getting in bed or me falling asleep, like going to sleep?
Like intentionally going to sleep. getting in bed and reading and getting in bed and watching something does not count as going to sleep for me. I'm talking like when, if your Whoop band or your Aura ring or your whatever, your data mining wearable.
Yeah.
What would that tell you?
12:10.
See, at post midnight on a weeknight is crazy for me. If it's starting to approach midnight on a weeknight, I'm like, I have to fall asleep. And that's when I start freaking out and I stay up till 2.
Yeah, there's something called, there are a bunch of articles written about this the last few years. I think it's called like revenge bedtime procrastination or something.
Okay.
And it's basically this idea that it's a phenomenon. Here's what is this the generative AI or an actual? Okay, no, this is actually pulled from something. Revenge bedtime procrastination refers to a phenomenon in which people put off going to bed to engage in activities that they don't have time for during the day. And that's absolutely like where most of mine comes from. It's my day does not stop when I get home from work. That's like post work is gym for me. And then I'm usually cooking and then I'm cleaning and then like maybe getting to watch a show, maybe doing stuff around the house. And then it's like by the time like, so it's that puts me at 10:30, 11, start getting ready for bed. And then it's like that's when I actually have time to like maybe scroll Instagram for a second or look up something that I wanted to look up or read an article or like do whatever it is. So I'm very, very guilty of like the revenge bedtime procrastination. And that's typically what keeps me up. That's probably what shifts my bedtime from like 11:45 to 12:15.
For me, it's like if having kids now, it takes out the time between getting home from work and their bedtime is time that I used to, you know, enjoy myself in ways that I can't now. Listening to music, putting something on TV. Sally would get home from work later so I could watch something on television then that she might not want to watch. But I just always had some time in the evening before we would eat dinner. Now that that's gone, from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, it's like the most essential time of my day for me in terms of like getting personal satisfaction out of things that interest me that aren't my kids.
Yeah.
And if I don't immediately jump into an activity, whether it is listening to a record, reading something, watching something, or playing FIFA, I find myself just falling asleep immediately.
Yeah.
It'll be 8 o'clock and I'll put something that I don't really care about on the television. And then suddenly by 9 o'clock, I'm like, yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm just going to bed. And so like, I don't know, maybe these kids just need more shit to do. You guys need to start getting some interest in life instead of scrolling your phones all the time.
Yeah. Where did this article go with this? It's currently paywalled by
it's paywalled, Bear. That's why we're doing knee jerk reactions.
Okay. All right.
I need to get a Wall Street Journal article. There's been a lot of paywalled stuff lately that bums me out.
I'm just curious, like, kind of where what they describe as like an explanation for such. I mean, because like it wouldn't shock me. A lot of people go to bed at like at 10:30. Randy, what time do you go to bed?
If I'm actually in my bed before 11, like that is a wild occurrence. So I would say probably around midnight is when I'm actually asleep.
Okay,
fair.
Right. I know people do go to bed at like younger people go to bed at 10:30, something like that.
If I could have my
9 is crazy. Like, my ideal kids. Why are you going to bed at 9? I don't get that. I don't
get it either. My kids sleep in. Like they don't sleep in super late, but like I'm not getting up at 6 with them.
Okay,
you know. And so like I don't need to go to bed at that early bedtime. But sometimes you're just so run down that you have to when you got the kid in the mix.
You just grinded too hard. That's it. That's all there is to it.
Well, Business Insider also reported that there is a death of fringe friends in Gen Z. It says, even though Gen Zers are in the prime time to forge lasting relationships, they're finding it extremely difficult to make friends. It's not as if young people don't want connection. The popularity of blah, 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 and the amounts of money Gen Zers are willing to spend on social activities are proof that people still want to cultivate social circles. So why are many floundering? One of the biggest reasons for our shrinking social circles is the loss of fringe friends, casual friends that you enjoy seeing occasionally. These are people that you see only at parties but are always happy to chat with, the people you see at the local watering hole every so often, and maybe challenge to a game of darts, the people who end up in your orbit by proximity, the ones who rode the subway to work with you at the same time every day or waited next to you for their morning coffee. Do you feel like these have gone down a little bit? I feel like they've gone down for me just because of the kid stuff and I go out less.
This is for sure. This happens as you get older because your circle becomes narrower as your family grows larger. That's typically what happens, right? And you find yourself, I mean, this happens to probably definitely happened to my parents. I'm sure it's happened to if you're listening, like probably happened to yours, right? Like you suddenly like you have friends that are friends because they're the parents of your kids, your kids' friends.
Yeah.
And so that kind of like expands the circle a little bit, but you have less time for like the people that aren't in the same stage of life as you are. And like that requires a lot more maintenance and effort. So if they weren't already very close friends, then they kind of fall by the wayside. People aren't going out and doing as much weeknight parties in different neighborhoods anymore. So there's less time to see those acquaintances. Mm-hmm. If this is happening in the younger generations, if people in their 20s feel like they have fewer friends, then I find that interesting. And you have to, I would immediately attribute that to things like, I don't know, Apple Vision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that has to be tied and connected to people's reliance on their, on their online entertainment and their phones and everything else that entails.
I've always admired, like, my mom has always done a really good job of maintaining like a lot of friendships. She's always, after work, she would always go to people's places for a glass of wine. She's always got activities going. She's very, very social,
My mom's like that too.
Always made me want to be much more social as well. And I've made a running bit out of it on Circling Back about how male friendship goes down after the age of 35. But like, it's a very real thing. And it's like kind of concerns me because I do feel like I have that like intrinsic need to be social like my parents are. In this article, it says that in 1990 Gallup survey, 3% of Americans said they had no close friends. By contrast, the American Survey Center's 2021 American Prospective Survey found the number had risen to 12%. 12% of Americans are just being like, I have no close friends. That's like really depressing.
That's fair. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think the older you get, the more like you start to be like, oh, like I spend so much time at work and with my family that like the friendships have really fallen by the wayside.
You know what? Another thing that factors into this, I think about as us talking about like our parents and moms, especially like maintaining like very rich social lives and seemingly a lot of friends. Do you like talking on the phone?
I'd like talking on the phone with my parents. I don't love talking on the phone and having casual conversations with people that are like considered just solely friends.
Yeah.
But part of that reason is because it's not a regular occurrence. And so if I had that more in my rotation, but I feel like if I called one of my buddies, one of my hometown buddies, who I don't talk to enough these days, I feel like if I called one of them up right now, they'd be caught very off guard. Like, is something okay? Are you telling me that you're having another kid? Are you getting divorced? Like, why are you calling me right now? Whereas like, and a lot of the conversations that I have with my friends are via text.
Yeah.
And that scratches the itch a lot of the time. Whereas like before, when I was when I was single and wanting to go out all the time, those text conversations weren't as rampant. And I feel like we were all just trying to go out and figure out what we were doing. We were, instead of having full on conversations in group text, we were more figuring out where we were going to go and meet up. And it just doesn't happen like that anymore.
Yeah. I do think that like, I mean, texts are more impersonal, mm-hmm. And are less personal. And I think like, I gotta think the lack of phone calls also contributes, because like ours is kind of the first generation where we basically decided that we hate phone calls. We only want to text. And then that extends even further. I don't know. I think some of the youths, I think are actually FaceTiming more now.
That makes sense. FaceTiming definitely had a spike for me during like lockdown and stuff for everybody. But it does make me like, I am more likely, if I'm at home and I want to call my mom or dad, I'm much more likely to FaceTime them at this point.
But like our parents were, they love talking on the phone because that was the form of communication. So yeah. I feel like they probably called their friends more often.
I write down all my New Year's resolutions every year. And my number two resolution this year was simply call your boys more.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do it. I know that they'd enjoy it if I did it every once in a while, and I just need to do it more. It's pointless.
One thing I will say about calling your friends versus like calling your parents is that your friends know how to have like a 5-minute conversation.
Yeah.
They won't drag it along for 35 minutes. Sorry, mom. Sorry.
My parents. My parents are always just like
astray there, but parents love to like, they get you on the phone. And they want to keep you there.
My parents are always like, all right, I don't have any more. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye. Like, okay, cool.
I definitely think that it's just that, you know, things have just gotten more and more impersonal as so much of the conversation has moved into text and online format.
We've got two more articles of interest here that we can quickly just briefly get some takes on. Gen Z wants to smell rich. It's driving luxury fragrance sales. Do you feel a need to buy more luxury fragrances as of late? Do you buy them regularly? Is this something that you like spend money on, or is this more of like a thing where you get it as a gift?
I understand where this is coming from, I think, because, but I experienced this through kind of like like the fashion boys, the fashion bros online, mm-hmm. in various discords or style forum or wherever else you might find them. Like if you're into to a fashion brand, basically, or you love shopping at Canoe Club, chances are you like have a favorite fragrance from Comme des Garçons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that is like, it's super adjacent and very connected that if you're spending, you know, $500-$600 on like a jacket, if that's in your wheelhouse, if that's something you're willing to do, then like $250 or $300 for a fragrance is probably also something that's very palatable and appealing to you. And so that kind of like that culture kind of pushed me along. I feel like that's kind of what got me testing out the Le Labo stuff.
Yeah.
But I am still in my sample mode because I don't wear fragrance every day.
Yeah. And like, I kind of got thrown in the deep end at my old job because we sold so many nice fragrances that I had no choice but to learn about them. And I had no choice but to like get obsessed with a few of them. And so like, that's why I go with Acqua di Parma so much, because I do think it's reasonably priced for how luxurious it is. You can also find it on sale pretty often, or if you can just do what I did, which is stock up on as much as you can at the duty free store. And
I like to stop at the duty free shop.
I just went off in Italy. I was like, nope, Sally, these prices are good. I'm going back for more. But like, I don't know. I don't see my buddies with like, I don't smell cologne on my friends very often.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest.
I would agree with that.
I'm not trying to smell it on them, but like, I never get a waft and I'm like, oh, what's that?
Right. Right.
That smells good.
So I do think that like, I think younger generations, younger guys, especially there's a larger percentage of them that are into this fashion and shit like that, you know?
It makes sense.
Like, I think the dude that does Nolita Dirtbag, I want to say he's like 26.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, that set is of people is pretty young.
I felt really exposed when Throwing Fits did an Acqua di Parma meme. I was like, oh, fuck.
So it's not surprising to hear that is kind of surging in popularity. But, like, again, like, because... I have such a hard time. Like I love fragrance. Like I get it. Like you smell something that smells amazing. It's like building the art candles, right?
Yeah.
It's like you get the right one and you're like, oh my God, it's the same kind of, it's hitting that same pleasure button as lighting an amazing scented candle. But it's just so hard to drop that when like the bottle just sits there and it lasts me for like 6 years.
It's embarrassing. And like, yeah, I bought a small bottle of cologne and I still feel like it's more than half full and I'm still using it like every time I go out. It's just not something that I used at a rapid clip enough.
Yeah.
Our final article of interest, Soho House is just getting roasted right now. They went public a few years ago, and ever since then, it seems like everything's just gone horribly for them in terms of finances and just profit. And they're considering going private again. And I have to say, this doesn't surprise me. A lot of the indications here are that one of the company that did the assessment of this, Glasshouse Research, they're pretty much saying like, hey, you're on the same trend as WeWork. And I'm not really surprised by this. I feel like America has really not embraced like the...
Not a company you want to be compared to generally.
No, not normally. Shout out Adam Newman and, you know... And the Hulu series that I thoroughly enjoyed.
And Jared Leto portraying him, sure.
Enjoyed the Hulu series. Incredible stuff. But like, this doesn't really surprise me. I don't feel like young people necessarily want to be hanging out at pay-for-play clubs that much. And I feel like the people that do want to do it are probably our age or above. And I don't know. It doesn't really surprise me that people are souring on this kind of stuff, even though it's like, it's huge in like London to be a part of like these clubs and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just not a thing here. And I feel like unless it's like a smaller one, people just aren't as into going to it.
Yeah, there's something happening here. I feel like maybe the pandemic, again, thinking about things that just were paradigm shifting about it. Like, did the work from home thing kind of change the appeal of like a social club like this in some way?
Did everyone get too comfortable working from home that now they just prefer to be at home instead of at a social club spending $8 on a coffee?
You mentioned how popular this is in the UK, but like this is, you would think that would translate to a place like New York as well. And this is clearly happening for Soho House kind of.
But I just think there's other clubs popping up that people might rather be a member of that might offer something different than just like the Soho House, the name.
Yeah.
Has kind of become like a bit when it comes to people talking about certain aspects of Soho House. Yeah. And so like, it's just interesting to me that like, I don't know. I'm not surprised by this, but I don't have a lot of reasons to point to being like, oh yeah, like this is why they need to fix this.
There's something I think about the appeal and about the perks that have just that have degraded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just are not. They don't sound as attractive anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
And I'm not agreed. I'm not totally sure why that is. Maybe, you know, one of the things that I saw recently was, I think I saw this on like Eater Austin, but it was talking about the rise of, I think what they, a term that they were coining called like third spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tied to a little bit to work from home, but it was the idea of like a place like Cosmic or Radio.
Yeah.
Which is like half coffee. It's like a third coffee house, a third bar, a third like spot to like take a meeting or pull out your computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're big and they're easy to meet up with people. And like that type of thing that's very free and open and public, I feel like they'll check some of the same boxes as these clubs did.
It's faster too.
Yeah.
Like it's faster to go to a coffee shop that might serve beer and might do whatever because you're just getting counter service, you're letting it rip and you're going. Whereas if you go to like a nice sit-down restaurant, like a Soho House or something, you're going to be there for probably a longer period of time.
Yeah.
It's just not as efficient. But some people don't want that efficient kind of thing. They want a two-hour lunch. They want to hang out.
Right.
Should we do some wish list items to close out today's episode?
Yeah, before we do that, I was able to crack the hottest new bedtime for 20-somethings article.
Yes.
And it basically young people are understanding the link between sleep and health better than young people once did.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they just know that and this here's the crazy stat. In 2022, those in their 20s reported getting an average of 9 hours and 28 minutes of sleep.
Must be nice.
That's
Be nice.
And their screen times are like 13 hours.
Yeah,
like,
that's
what
depressing.
Are you talking about?
That's an 8% increase from the 8 hours and 47 minutes they said they slept in 2010. Those in their 30s and 40s, our generation, they saw smaller increases. But basically, people are not they're shifting the partying to earlier hours. Not staying out as late and doing more in the 5 to 9 p.m. range. Work from home has affected this as well because people don't want to there's not that like they don't want to leave their house basically that pretty much covers it. But I think the headline there is that young people are understanding that getting sleep and going to bed early is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, wish list. I'm gonna let you go first here as I cue mine up.
I don't have a actual link for mine as it's just from a tweet from Street Night Live, but the second I saw this I thought to myself, yep, I got to do it. And so whenever this comes out, I will be getting it. It's an L.L. Bean Field Cup. It's not currently available on their website. I don't know the price of it. I don't know why it's not on their website or if this is in collaboration with someone else or if this is a vintage one that you simply can't get. But I need to get my hands on one of these. A couple years ago, bought a barn coat from J. Crew.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I don't know where it is. It's been gone for too long now. To the point where I'm like, I'm not going to find it. I've moved twice since I've lost it. There's no way that it's anywhere in my place. There's no way it's anywhere else. I don't know what to do about it. And I want a new barn coat. It really serves a nice purpose for me. It's a little lighter than wearing my wax jacket. I feel like you can kind of style it however you want. And I just really like this one. I like the lighter look of it. I don't want to just get a mimicked coat from my wax jacket.
Yeah.
I love all the pockets. I like the big collar. This is just, it's just hitting all cylinders for me.
The kind of off-white stone color is also really, this is nice. That makes it feel very modern.
I think it would really go well with a lot of my wardrobe as well. Like I don't see anything that I currently wear regularly that this would not immediately pair with.
Yeah.
And so I'm in. I need a new barn coat. And if I can do it during sale season at the end of the cold season, then so be it.
Yeah. For me, before I start this, if there's any luggage people out there that want to sponsor the pod, I will immediately pull this off of my wish list. So just, I'll preface by saying that, but
are you going to cop a Tumi?
No, not a Tumi. I have an Away carry on that I quite like. I quite like it.
Why are you pivoting?
Because I don't get to use it if I travel with Laura.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we've only got the one.
You should do what I do. Which is ask maybe one of your co-hosts on Circling Back for their carry-on, and then you just never give it back to them, and you have two carry-ons now.
So I was researching, looking into procuring another one, and I came across what I'm sure is a direct competitor of Away. So Away, come for us.
I would love it if you did, Away. I love you, Away.
We'll tear these links down and delete this part of the podcast if you want to come give me a free bag and sponsor the pod.
Is this a jetpack on the outside of this thing?
This is a competitor called Monos The price is better, and their carry-on pro has a feature that I really, really like on my soft shell carry-on, which is basically a little exterior piece that unzips that you can like throw your laptop in or put a magazine in or your headphones or whatever else it might be. But like this little ability to just kind of like unzip the exterior and grab something quickly.
Interesting.
Is really, really nice because this can eliminate the need for like to have like your backpack and your carry-on. You can potentially get away with like just your carry-on, or it opens up to like having your second bag as like maybe like a little duffel if your goal is to do a longer trip with no check. So this is I'm not getting this for my upcoming trip because I've had to spend money on assorted other things, but this
like
is
a wedding.
Yeah. But this is up there for me.
These are some of those limited edition colors.
Yeah, the limited edition.
Yeah, what's up with this?
They get a little pricier. They got a little terrazzo action if that's your bag. This one, I really like the terracotta? Is that what that says?
I don't know. I need you to hover over that and see what the color is.
But like,
it's more important than we're realizing.
Yeah, terracotta.
Terracotta.
There we go.
Yeah. They got, what is this? Sage. Sage is nice. Probably going to pass on the...
banana pudding.
On the banana pudding, though, yeah.
This is
yeah.
such a stupid complaint, but there is something that I hate about putting my laptop in my backpack when I want my backpack to be the lighter of the things.
Right,
the second you put the laptop in there, suddenly it's becomes over. Just a shred amount heavier, and it's just a little annoying.
Yeah.
I need a backpack at this point. I need to upgrade from my OGO, but I just need something that has enough pockets and enough features, but with that also just looks better than the OGO. But the OGO that I have is so efficient and mm-hmm. incredible from a function standpoint that I just haven't found anything that I'm willing to spend money on. What, Randy?
I know I brought it up on an old retail therapy, but for that bachelor party I'm going on in Tahoe, do I do the Hawaiian shirt and the big
Yeah.
luggage with the stickers?
Yeah.
I got it, right?
Can I give you... I have a bunch of stickers if you need some, Randy.
I just need to find one of those like old leather ones. It's probably going to be a beating to carry around the airport because it doesn't have wheels. But
yeah, but you...
It's for the vibe.
You've been doing your Tony Robinson workouts lately.
It's Tony Horton.
Tony Horton.
B90X. X stands for extreme, Barrett.
Very nice.
Does it?
But yeah, Tumi, Away, Monos... We're available.
We had the Away bag for a little bit, and it was a good bag to have. Yeah. I still use my Away like constantly. But part of the reason I like the Away is because it doesn't have too much going on.
Yeah.
Like outside of the battery that you get called out for everywhere, like it's really, they really just kind of do their job in the most like dirty way possible.
Literally the one thing that I would ask for on an Away bag, Monos solved it. So that that's pretty clutch for me. And I might be copping soon.
I can't. Yeah. Monos.
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 It's like means no, that's monos. Monos is monkeys in Spanish. Los monos.
See? I was just confirming in my head, just going through my Rolodex of Spanish named animals. All right, let's get out of here.
Bye-bye.